Hello, and welcome to today's A Marvelous Lunch Break. On today's show, we'll be discussing The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the brand new Marvel TV show coming to Disney Plus and pretty much no other streaming services. We'll be discussing this and all of the season, but joining me today, as always, is Miss Marvel herself, Anna Harrison. How are you?
Hello, I am so good, Dan. So pumped.
Nice. And of course, Martin isn't joining us today, but we've got notes from him, and we're going to be reflecting those views over the next sort of 20 minutes or so. Immediate first thoughts. How you feeling about it? Positive? Thumbs up?
Oh my God! Yes, I loved this. I absolutely loved it. I would say had pretty high expectations, but then didn't know what to expect after the wonder that was WandaVision. But I had so much fun with this episode.
Yeah, and I liked that it was a little longer as well. You know, WandaVision, we got like the first two issues. It's not a comic book. We got the first two episodes. Like back to back. Which kind of softened the blow a little bit of the episodes being pretty short. But this one, we got a good sort of like 40 plus minutes all in one hit.
Absolutely. And I think it was such a good introduction. I mean, obviously the WandaVision format was perfectly set up for those like little like tight vignettes, you know, in going through the each era. But I think this one, given that like they kind of have said over and over again that this is meant to be more of like a movie sort of broken up into parts. And I think they encapsulated like the first act, as it were, in this one really well. Great opening, good cliffhanger to end it on.
And if all episodes are this strong and this long, that's going to be what, something like a 4-hour, maybe 5-hour movie? Is my maths right there, about 40 minutes apart? I think that'll be giving Justice League a run for its money in runtime if you have to do it in all one sitting. Not that I've watched that yet, but that's a different podcast and show altogether. So the first thing that we usually do here is we'll kick off with the cast. So cheers and boos, and I'll join in as well, maybe a little bit later. We've got Anthony Mackie as Falcon.
Woo!
Yeah. Feeling good? Yeah. I'm with you on that one. Heck definitely. And you, of course, no change from the previous appearance in movies then. Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes. Feeling good about that?
Yeah. Nice. Oh, poor Bucky. Sad little Bucky.
And yeah. I'm not going to go into too many other people because we're probably going to feature them episode by episode as they appear. Mm. But we've had a few other people knocking around. We've had the supporting cast of Wyatt Russell, Aaron Kellyman as Carly, Desmond Chame, sorry if I'm getting that wrong, as Dovich, and then Danny Deet as Gigi, and Adepero Oduye as Sarah Wilson, who I think all featured in that episode. I'm pretty certain there.
Yeah. I mean, obviously this was totally about like getting us back into Sam and Bucky's life, like where they've been, where, you know, how they're functioning after the events of Endgame. And obviously we'll talk way more about those guys, but I'm finding the supporting cast really promising. Obviously we've got our two main stars, but I like that we've obviously got some strong characters to kind of bolster their story up. Huge fan of Bucky's therapist. I thought she was great. Really excited to, because therapy sessions in films can sometimes be a bit of like a cheap ploy to like, okay, let's force the character to relive like emotional things so we get like an easy window into that. But I think she plays a great kind of like foil for Bucky to be kind of playing against. Like, she's not taking his shit, he pushes back. Yeah, I love it.
I tell you what, I'm watching The Sopranos at the minute. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It is all about his relationship with his therapist, pretty much. And as soon as that started happening here, I was like, I'm just watching the same TV show twice. This is great. one's mafia-themed therapy sessions. One is superhero-themed therapy sessions. I enjoyed that relationship as well. And I thought there was – it's not something that's, like, brand new to like pop culture or TV shows and movies, but it's something that felt sort of brand new to – the MCU. I think the only thing that I thought back on it, and interestingly, I don't know if you watched the Marvel Legends sort of previews, but the only sort of similarity I could remember was how Sam was running the sort of like therapy sessions almost for like veterans, and then how Captain America was, well, Steve Rogers was doing them for people after the snap. I thought it was really interesting how we got this theme of other people. You know, I think Falcon and Winter Soldier have both got therapy in their lives, right?
Yeah, but I think that's really great, because I think that was a bit of a theme throughout this one of like our superheroes kind of with the masks off, like what does their everyday look like? And for Bucky, and I would imagine for a lot of like superheroes in the MCU, a therapy session is probably a really good idea. Like they've gone through some shit. It's good to be, you know, taking care of their mental health. And then you've got Sam.
They need group therapy. They need family, like, counseling.
Yeah, there needs to be some sort of like Avengers Anonymous meeting where they can, you know, talk in a safe place and preserve their anonymity. And then we've got, you know, Sam and you know, really real financial questions. And, you know, it raises a good point. Like, how do superheroes make their money, especially if you don't have your patron Tony Stark, heartbreakingly, not around anymore? So I don't necessarily think that that's going to be too much of the focus of these series. I think it was a really interesting question to sort of, yeah.
Do you not?
With the coats hung up.
Oh, I think that's going to be we'll come on to his family business shortly. Yeah. But I've got lots and lots of thoughts about that. And I think it's going to play a huge, I've thought for a while now that this series is going to have a much more emotional undertone than necessarily is what's billed. But before we go into the emotions, let's go straight back to the start of this episode with that amazing sort of fight flight sequence. How did you feel about that?
Oh, it was so good. What a great entry point. And like, talk about immediately sort of like ticking the box of like, yes, this is going to be, you know, up to the same standard as some of the best action set pieces we've seen in Marvel movies. I mean, and so good to like put Sam front and center, being like, yeah, he's a badass. He knows what he's doing. Like, yeah, I am so here for the ride, or the flight, as it were.
Yeah. What do you think about the guys in the squirrel suits?
Oh, well, I gotta say, what I saw, Belloc, the guy, like, I thought that was a great idea to like do a callback to the Winter Soldier and that movie and see that villain again. Cause I thought he was great in the brief clip that we saw him versus Steve. And so it was good to see again. I think it was a great way to show that like Sam is capable. He can take on the same level of threats that Cap did. So, I thought they were good. What do you think of them?
Yeah, I thought they were like, they were, I mean, I don't know what the power of a squirrel suit is like in a world that has Stark tech. My layman's understanding of squirrel suits were, you know, they did a pretty good job, but they're not like a replacement for Iron Man. Yeah. They were doing some pretty crazy aerobatics throughout that. And they were making like, to say Sam has like a powered suit, them just in the flappy wings, they were making ground on him, right? Like, yeah. I know he was dodging missiles, but they were making some serious ground on him.
Considering one of them was carrying a dude on his back as well, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it must weigh like, surely these things are like aerodynamic for one person, not also with luggage. Unless I would all be going, like, planes would just circle the earth and we'd all dip out of them at our holiday destination, right?
Oh my god.
It'd be like, for those who are stopping in Paris, please exit on the left, and you just sail down with your luggage. I thought it was a really, you know, it was a really big introduction. They really sort of, yeah, said, look, the budget or whatever, the action in these is not going to be subpar or anything, which I think was really cool to see. But then, I thought it was also really interesting how it was kind of military work as well. You know, we've had these big questions in, like, Civil War of, you know, do we, you know, if we sign up to this, or if we, you know, this means that we just get deployed whenever the sort of government or the military decides that we should be deployed. And this, and you remember that, that Sam was on Cap's side of that, right?
Yeah.
So for him to now be like leading the charge in a sort of military way, I thought was, I wonder whether there is still questions behind that about how and when they're deployed, and whether we might see those coming up in the series about him being asked to do something necessarily that he doesn't want to do. And especially given context of things that happen later in the episode, I think that was, I think that's, there's a lot of interesting story to happen there. But then straight to the other intro. So we had Bucky's intro, which was a flashback sequence, and immediately you could tell because of his silver arm. What do you think of that?
Well, I gotta say, for a second, it threw me for a moment. It took me a moment to realize, like, oh yeah, of course, this is a flashback. I had a brief moment of like, oh my God, has Bucky like totally reverted? Like, back, did someone get a hold of his, you know, Manchurian Candidate trigger? And part of this is going to be about Sam like bringing him back. So I was just a bit thrown, because it was like, it was so amazing and like so powerful. I was just like, it was really like intense to see Bucky in that mode again, given like how far he's come. And so, yeah, having that be the first introduction, that really powerful reminder of like what, like he says, like 90 years of his life just being this weapon for murder. But I thought it was really cool to see, really cool to see. And then having that juxtaposed against the person he is now, which there's a fair amount of like tragedy that he's just wearing as like this mantle at the moment. So I thought it was a really clever intro to Bucky again, to see who he used to be compared to this. Oh yeah, I just want to give him like a little cuddle, like he's just so sad right now.
And it's so different between his and Steve Rogers' story. And we're going to have to start referring to him as Steve Rogers. But it's so different thinking of like Steve sort of, so to speak, went back into the past to, because he'd felt like he'd accomplished things that he needed to do, or at least he always felt like he belonged in the past. Where it's interesting that Bucky has sort of, with the same experiences, made the choice to stay in the future to like atone for whatever's happened to him. I think you've got that real interesting difference between the two, you know, 100 plus year old members of the Avengers, which was referenced quite a few in the times in this episode about his age. The guy's knocking on, but he's looking good, you know?
Oof, so good. So good.
He's, I'm not sure I like this trend of everyone getting short hair in the MCU. Like,
oh, really? You're missing the locks.
Well, yeah, it was like Thor loses his hair. Now, like, you know, Winter Soldier loses his hair. I mean, I get it. It's probably more practical. But, you know, I bet they're putting in their contracts. Okay, another 5 movies, but I'm sick of wearing that wig, right? You know, so let's I need my hair for my sponsors and, you know, get this emo fringe off of me. But I thought he rocked it, you know? You clearly see here as well in the flashback, he rocks that long hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Speaking of other things that have changed then, so this, of course, Winter Soldier and Falcon were both snapped, right? They were both, suffering from like a 4-year time loss. Second TV show in a row now. So I know it's like only the, you know, still the aftermath of Endgame, which feels like, I mean, it was 2 years ago, but How did you feel about the snap and the presence of new people in the world again, recurring in this TV show after WandaVision, of course?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I'm really glad that we are still sticking with this for a bit. So, like Martin, one of the things he said, he was a big fan of the episode, but he did have a question about like, so the idea of the snap being used as like a plot device for tension. It's a kind of a quick way to establish like, oh yeah, this is a reasonable reason for there to be issues like, you know, between Sam and his sister Sarah, that, you know, you were gone for 5 years, I had to carry on, things were shit, and Sam, you know, through no fault of his own, but yeah, he wasn't there. And I can kind of see Martin, like the point of Martin's question being like, is this kind of like an easy device? But it may feel like that in the future, but at the moment I'm still really glad we're exploring this. Like, even down to like, you know, we've had Far From Home, kind of still dealing with the aftermath of the blip, as they call it. It's such an interesting idea. And I think particularly now in a TV show, you can really get into the nitty gritty of like, yeah, of course there would be some serious financial implications to the snap. There'd be, you know, he talks about like having missed years of his nephew's lives growing up and everything. I am so down for exploring this. I don't want it to become like the main focus, and I don't think it will, but I'm up for really delving into this world. And you know, we've got the rise of the Flag Smashers from it as well. I think it's a great thing to just, yeah, keep mining for more interesting effects on our MCU.
And they've taken 12 years whatever to get here. They deserve to, you know, they deserve to use it a little bit, right?
Totally. Totally.
You know, that's one thing that I guess comic books are sort of, you know, and Marvel, DC, whoever, with these shared universe comic books, there's always this criticism of, you did a big world event with loads of comic books and you build it as everything's going to change here. And then 5 issues later, everyone's revived. And, you know, maybe not 5 issues, but, you know, these world changing events are so rarely actually world changing. And I think in the MCU, we're seeing, oh, they are world changing, you know, right down to the minutiae you know, little daily activities. They've really impacted everyone. I actually don't know whether they're showing, whether we've had chance to see that divide enough, right? Surely humanity would be split, or at least some sections of humanity would be like, you know, really annoyed at each other. People who stayed would be forming groups, I feel, that would be like, you know, these people are fake people or whatever, you know, the conspiracy level things.
Yeah.
All the way to, you know, really vindictive and small actions. I even think that there'd probably be like a demonizing term for people who got snapped, you know, to sort of say you're not worthy. But actually this show has taken that similar sort of theme, but actually, you know, paralleled it with things that we see in the real world. And actually moving on to Sam's family and the troubles that they had in the bank as well. And something that I was really interested to see if they were going to tackle in this series, but you can see that they're bringing, you know, race related issues into this show. We've seen it in the bank as well. And you know, that isn't necessarily something that is out of touch with, you know, the world that we live in. But as well, I think a lot of that was playing into Sam's decision to give up the shield. And I think you can see that there's a lot of parallels between his family troubles and his sort of professional superhero troubles as to the motivations behind his actions. Interestingly, all about the shrimp site as well, I think there's a huge parallel here between how he didn't feel that he could necessarily fill the mantle of Captain America and maintain it. And maybe that's why he's now doubling down on trying to maintain his family and his family's business. But I thought it was great to see, you know, that down to earth side of the superhero as well, in terms of their actual, how do they make a living, their job and that sort of thing. And his sister was great.
Oh, she was great. I feel like I know her from, she was like, she had a role in The Big Short and a couple other things, but I'm really keen to see more of her. I thought she and Sam had like, you know, I totally bought their sort of sibling dynamic. And I also like that she, you know, she's glad to have Sam back, but she is clearly a woman who, you know, she doesn't suffer any fools and, you know, she knows what needs to happen. And I think that's interesting as well. Like, you know, Sam does this amazing aerial battle and he's the one in charge and, you know, revered for it, but his sister knows what's what with the business. And I have a feeling Sam's probably going to have to come around to her way of thinking rather than having to like be the hero necessarily in that scenario. And I think I did really like seeing more of like Sam's history. So you've got Bucky dealing with where he's come from. And I think you're exactly right. Like this idea of, you know, this legacy that Sam's got of like, you know, their shrimp, their their shrimping family. Like that is his history. And I can totally see after, you know, he's been shaken, he's lost Cap, he would want to cling to that. But I did think it was really important to, I'm sure it's going to come up. Cause if you think about like when he gave up the shield and the guy from the Smithsonian says to him, like, you know, this was the right decision. Thank you for doing this. There clearly wasn't much of a, no, we need you, like, do this, Sam, do this. Because they, as we saw at the very end, already had an idea in their head of what a Captain America should look like. Yeah. Although I've got to say, like, imagine being cast as the guy who clearly is not supposed to be Captain America. Like, I don't know where they're going with that particular actor and character. I'm really curious to see. But yeah, imagine being the guy who's like, you're the wrong Captain America. That's your role in this film or this show.
It's interesting. Yeah. There's, you know, and I think it'll be interesting to find out whether he is all superpowered, you know? It may be that he has some form of strength or ability. It may be that he is just a, you know, I think more likely is that he's just a placeholder, right?
A figurehead type thing or something. Yeah.
But he looked like an idiot. he really looked like an idiot.
He did. Bless him. Yeah. Agreed.
And I really feel for like the pressure that Sam, you know, clearly wasn't really. He must have felt so much pressure stepping into the shoes of Steve Rogers for a whole variety of reasons, but instantly rooting for him to get it back, right? You know, we've got 5 episodes ahead of us and I want to see him pick up that shield by the end of it.
God, me too. Me too. So, and I think, again, just sort of building up, like, I think we already feel... Well, I do anyway. I already feel that Sam is worthy of the shield. Like, you know, he was a good friend to Cap. Cap obviously trusted him. And, you know, he fought against Thanos and he's like done amazing things. But I think there will definitely be an element of, well, of course, it'll be like Sam coming to the realization that he deserves to wear the mantle. And I think Bucky's going to help him realize that as well. And that I'm really excited to see those two come together and war that out amongst each other. But yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited for this series. It's awesome.
Do you think Rhodey's going to pop up again as a little bit of a mentor for him as well? You know, someone who's been in the military, who's served a long career.
I certainly wouldn't mind. Like, I love seeing him there. I thought that was like the conversation where they were like in the hall or in the Smithsonian with all like the posters behind them of, again, a very Americana image of what Captain has been, like those wartime bonds, very white like heroes standing in those posters, and those two men having this really profound conversation. I think Rhodey's the perfect person to kind of tease some of those questions out, and seeing the two of them interact, I thought was really great. So I certainly wouldn't mind if he popped up every now and again to nudge Sam forward. I thought he was great.
So what do you think then? And just to that interesting point, before we move on, you know, you said this thing about Falcon and Sam being there at Endgame, being there for Cap and clearly like looking up to Cap a little bit as well. But I think out of this, I think it's really interesting that actually Sam and Bucky were the two people I feel that Cap looked up to, right? In olden times, he always looked up to Bucky and he always wanted to, you know, be his help and support and be with his friend. And Bucky did like look out for him a little bit. But then we've had the same with Falcon in the present day. So, you know, you can see how Steve did sort of mirror some of Sam's behaviors with stuff like the therapy session. The first time he meets Sam, he's at a therapy session. But then after the snap, Steve is filling those shoes. But then as well we have this, you know, end game the like on your right sort of stuff where Falcon's always there and looking after him. So I think it's going to be interesting seeing these two sort of like people who've looked over and looked after Steve come together and see how they can help each other, maybe. What do you think? What are your hopes? What are your thoughts? What are your visions for the wrong series? What are your predictions for the season ahead?
Oh, I really don't know. I'm super excited. I like that I liked that this episode was very much given over to reintroducing us to these characters. We've got a hint of these Flag Smashers. I'm really curious to see how that develops, but it wasn't like, I don't think we really need to go into too much about them at the moment because we know so little about them, but I'm really curious to see how that develops. I think already I've got a sense that they're going to be doing the showrunners are going to be doing a really good job of giving this a very like grounded feel as much as you possibly can when your heroes fly through the air and have metal arms and everything. I love that right off the bat, there are clear emotional touchstones. There's awesome action. And there was humor as well. They totally brought the humor in this episode. So I have such high hopes, but I've got to say, I'm not, other than the sort of overall arc of Sam eventually taking up the mantle, hopefully becoming Captain America. I'm really hard pressed to think of like what the actual like connective tissue is going to be. Other than, you know, I think I saw Anthony Mackie describe him and Bucky's relationship as the Turner and Hooch of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I can't wait for that to get going. But I am so on this ride. Can't wait.
Nice. I feel you that. And you know what? There's not too much to be conspiratorial about at the minute. You know, WandaVision planted these seeds of conspiracy straight away. And yeah. I think this will probably get there as we see other characters that we know are going to be in this series emerge. Mm. But for right now, there isn't too much like conspiracy or rather, you know, there aren't too many predictions to make, I feel.
Yeah.
But there is this sort of undercurrent of wrongdoing, of struggle emerging that I think it'd be really interesting to see him overcome. What would you give it? Right, five. What should we go for? You can have five shrimp or we can have... I don't know, gold. What are the lucky cats, you know, with the waggling arms?
Oh, yeah, lucky cats. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, bless. I loved when Bucky stopped that cat waving, which is really bad luck. You shouldn't stop the lucky cat from waving.
Have you seen the parallel, the side-by-side of the one? I am Tony Stark in Pepper's office with the metal spinny thing. Superheroes don't like things that independently move.
That's so funny. Yeah, let's give it some lucky cats. So I would say I would definitely give it. Yeah, I would say 4.5 lucky cats out of 5 lucky cats. What would you
say? I mean, I'm not a big fan of half increments. We might as well do it out of 10. Ooh. If that's what we're going to do. Because 4.5 is a 9 out of 10.
Right.
But I think. On a 5 lucky cat scale, I'm going to give this 4.
4. Yeah,
I think it's a strong start. It's a strong start. You know, lots of action. I think the bits that would have taken it to a 5 for me is just if we'd have had a little bit more of a foresight of what the threat is going to be this season. And it maybe that it never emerges, maybe a different type of story, but I haven't gone away from this episode feeling any sort of fear for anyone. Totally. And I think that is usually what drives superhero movies, right? Is like someone's gonna end the world. And we haven't quite yet seen that, but you know, episode 2, I will be there. Disney Plus, I'll be waiting. 8 a.m. 9 a.m. as soon as it comes on, I'll be pressing play, and I'll be getting my fix of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Will we be back next week?
I'd like to think so. We're trialing this new format of some short, sweet reactions to this. And, you know, we didn't have Agent Carter with us this time, but I think that might be a reoccurring theme, just, you know, an amalgamation of the three of us at any given point. But, and I was trying to think if I should do any kind of... I don't think it lends itself very well to a 60-second wrap-up, but I'm trying to think of, like, oh, maybe if there's some kind of tongue twister or haiku or some kind of brief recap of an episode. I'll do a 60 seconds when we come to the end, definitely, like a final thing. Although Martin wasn't that impressed with my last 60 seconds, so I have to do better. I'll give it a think. If anyone has any ideas of how I could do a recap, or if people are happy to wait until the end, let us know. You can message us.
And, you know, if you wait until the end, if you binge watching Falcon and Winter Soldier and then binge watching this podcast, I mean, you go for it. I feel this is perfect. I'm still loving the weekly distribution, right?
Same. Same.
I think
if London's changing than WandaVision did. So if people, like, you know, at the end, watch the final episode, like, I've got to watch it all over again. I think it would work well for that. So, yeah, I'm curious to see if I still feel the same as the episodes progress, sort of weekly drops versus binging. But so far, yeah, totally, totally loving it.
Nice. I think I'm going to go for a binge of WandaVision soon. Nice. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. It might be a big commitment, but we've got a little bit of a break now between Black Widow and Loki. Mm. So, yeah. You know, it's only a couple of weeks, but maybe there's an opportunity to do a little rewatch in there. Who knows? Nice. Well, that wraps us up for today. Anna, thank you so much for coming in, joining in. If listeners want to find you, where can they find you on social media?
They can find me on Instagram, Anna Marvelous, 2 N's, 2 L's. Or if you've got podcast-related specific things, I don't post about Marvel very much on my Instagram. So, but you can get some fun things here and there on our podcast Instagram at A Marvelous Lunch Break.
Nice. And of course, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening to us, please remember to drop us a subscribe if this is your first time listening. Or if you've been listening to us for a long time, why not review or rate us? It means a lot. It's really nice to see. And of course, get in touch with us on our Instagram if you've got any thoughts and feelings. Let us know whether you're liking The Falcon and the Winter Soldier so far, whether you've got any predictions for how it might be coming. But otherwise, thank you so much for joining in, and we'll see you again soon. Bye.
Bye.